This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Evening, day, morning, afternoon, night, bye, hello. I don't think we can say good, but we can't say we weren't surprised. If you saw my chat with Gavin McGaw, ex-executive from the EFL, as he was saying, then, you know, we weren't going to get charged unless they knew something was in the pipeline. And I think we were that close to the 3-year rolling figure last season that there's no way we couldn't have gone over. Owen said the other night from the BBC Radio Leicester, BBC, that it was a it wasn't going to make good reading, and it certainly hasn't. I'm still trying to sort of digest it all. I think we all are a little bit. Terry, good evening. He says we'll have to the knock on for allowable losses. That's got to be taken into account, but I can't see it being that much, to be honest with you. The news about Leicester will definitely ruffle clubs' feathers. Be interesting to see how everybody responds. Right, let me bring my fellow guests in. Brad, first of all, look at that. Little Brad. We've had a little ant and now we've got little Brad. There we go, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, mate. Far better than Leicester seem to be doing financially anyway.
Yes, yes. Not good reading. And look, she's gone out especially for the show and bought some new glasses. So please, everybody, put in the chat how intelligent she looks. Not that she needed new glasses to do that, because compared to us two Muppets, she's going to be intelligent. She understands more about this than us two put together. But good evening, Kate. Thank you very much for popping on.
No worries. Not good reading, was it?
No. It says here that we reported a loss of $89.7 million for the 22-23 season, taking the total losses for the last three Premier League campaigns to over $215 million. And I'm trying to, we can only lose $105 million over a rolling three-year period. That's $110 million we've got to find from somewhere, Kate.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew that we needed some kind of profit to not breach the rules this year. So I think we all knew that it was going to be probably along the similar lines to last year. So it'll be very interesting now, armed with that information, what's going to happen behind closed doors with the meeting.
Indeed. I mean, Brad, have you got a spare $110 million you can lend the club?
Yeah, funny enough, Chris, I might have been able to resurrect from the dead and do stuff like that over Easter, but I can't just pull $110 million out of my bank, mate. I haven't got it spare, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, I think we need to have a word with Dave, don't we? Bless him. Scott's just said, Kate joining the trend tonight in wearing her glasses. All of you looking great, by the way. Right, let me just try and... I want to try and do this so that we can all... we can see that a little bit bigger. There we go. Does that... I think that just about works. Let's have a look what Leicester City have said on their statement on this, because it does make interesting reading. Leicester City Football Club today publishes its financial accounts for the year ending 30th of June. The accounting period corresponded with a season which saw Leicester City's relegation from the Premier League. Now, this is the first bit that I found interesting, Kate. The club's investment in its first team playing squad, a strategy reflected in eight previous seasons of high performance in the top flight, was, for the first time, not matched by on-pitch results. I mean, I tend to say the last time that happened was Peter Taylor and the relegation when the KP was built.
Yeah, I think so. That's quite a statement. And I think it's kind of a bit of the underlying issue and what we might take up with the Premier League, in that having one or two unforecasted, in a bad way, positioning in the league can make you just breach almost straight away. And I think that's where the rules just have each club on an absolute knife edge. You have no room for error, and there is no room to get your prediction wrong in where you think you're going to finish in the league. But you don't want to predict too low, because your budget will be constrained and you won't be able to buy your players. And the opposite is what we've done. We've rolled the dice and gambled, and it's not worked.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Colonel Ward says here, I know he's not a Leeds or Ipswich fan, feel sorry for Leicester because of Everton and Man City, but when you went down, Leicester should try harder to raise funds to sell a few players. I think it's unfair on Leeds and Ipswich now if you go down. If you go up, sorry. I think you could argue that it was unfair on Leicester and Leeds that we went down when Everton and Forest were cheating. I think there's a lot of clubs outside, or even including some of the big six, that are cheating with money. And I don't think we will be the last club. And, you know, I'm not saying check on your facts, Colonel, but we actually got rid of 30 players, only brought about 12 or 13 in, including selling £100 million worth of players in Barnes, Castagna and Madison. So, yeah, we kind of did sell a few there, Colonel. So I don't want to throw it back at you because you're a nice chap, but maybe you want to just check your facts.
But also, apart from Madison, they were all in this accounting year, so they're not due out till next year.
That's very true.
If we didn't sell any players before end of June 23, they won't be included this time around.
That's a good point, actually. That is a very good point.
There's still the sale of Wesley Fofana, though, that's included in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's over. That will be over so many years, won't it? They won't have paid 65 million.
Yeah, of course, but Leicester, it will still get accounted for.
Do you think, and I'm going to come back to a bitch I used to have, I'm not referring to Kate here, but a bitch, sorry, Kate, a bitch I used to have about Youri Tielemans. You know, had he maybe signed a contract that allowed him to speak to people or go to certain clubs, but allowed Leicester to get some money, that would have helped. But Youri Tielemans thinking he's probably better than he is, and he was going to walk into a Champions League club, and he wanted to, you know, ruin Leicester when we'd actually probably resurrected his career. I don't think that looks good on his side.
No, it doesn't. I mean, we paid 40 million for Youri, and he definitely left a better player. So you could have arguably got upwards of 50 for Youri if he'd been in contract. And that is what's absolutely wrong about the Bosman rule. I think the Bosman ruling is fine and fit for purpose in the lower leagues. Like, I had a friend who played in League Two level football, and the Bosman ruling helped him out because he actually wasn't able to play, depended on his salary on a pay-per-play basis, so could actually finally get out because of the Bosman ruling. It's favourable for those clubs because their wages aren't very big. They're just normal working man wages. But when you're looking at this kind of money, where they're multi-millionaires, the Bosman ruling and the impact that can have when you're so constrained by financial fair play can be just devastating. And although 50 million wouldn't necessarily have helped us, but it compounds that each year, doesn't it? And each club's in the same position, but it is a compounding effect of that.
Yeah. I mean, Brad, nobody came in for him, but, you know, Maguire helped us out. You know, we got 80 million because he did sign a new contract with the clauses put in. Tielemans, you know, Belgian bastard, isn't he?
I mean, in that sense, yeah, he is. The way he left the club was probably, in fact, it was technically for me worse than Flop Farner, the French Voldemort, as I call him, because he could have, but also the warning signs were there for Leicester. 6 months before his contract got to 2 years, he was given as the runaround. Neil Millionaire, and maybe I will, maybe I won't. Oh, after this tournament. Oh, let's see where we finish. Let's see if we can win this. If we do that, maybe. And I'm sorry, but it's naivety on maybe loyalty was given to way too much, like it was with a certain manager who ran his course at the club. He did great for a while, but after a while, he ultimately went sour. And that's been Leicester's biggest problem. Now, I don't want to say it's anything to do with our owners, in the sense of maybe what they have beliefs in. We know that the religion's monks, so I don't know if that played a part in them showing loyalty for loyalty, wanting to reward what they felt was loyalty. But 2 years, the signs are there. If you want 50 million, you can try and negotiate something like 30 million up front, and then 20 million if you qualify for Champions League or something. So Leicester might not ever see that 20 million if he goes to Valeri might this year. They could have done a deal. You know what I mean? They could have done something to get rid of him and out the door. When you know, when it's very, very obvious to clubs, and an agent especially, that a player doesn't want to be at this club and he wants to move, no matter what the side, you know, all these subtle signs, Chris, would have led to teams maybe hearing the value that Leicester held, which they were right to hold for others, towards Tielemans. Because you got to remember, we value players as you should. You know, like Maguire. Still gets argued today whether he was worth 80 million. Probably not, but that's what he was worth to us. When you're in that situation, Leicester were very naive because they could have just gone, let's take our losses, in a sense, ironically, but let's take a deal where we maybe get it over a stretch of period, but we actually get at least 20 to 30 million up front for him. And I think we could have got a deal done. I think someone like Villa would have paid the 20 million.
He still obviously had to agree to go to that club, of course.
Yeah, of course. But I think he would have if he sent sinking ship, which he did last season, he could have easily on that summer gone, arrivederci, I'm off. See you later.
I just lump him in with Fofana and even Dennis Wise.
Definitely,
he could have. Dennis Wise with the way that. He could have done more to help.
The club aren't blameless in his departure for free either, if you know what I mean, because of that.
They, you know, I'm sure. Well, they took the gamble on it.
Yeah, again.
Kate, the next part that it says here, the consequences of this disappointment combined with the costs arising from the club's long-term commitment to maintaining a strong squad of players were the primary factors behind the pre-tax loss. The problem, which was not quite as bad as 2022, but almost the same. It is hard because we, as a club, we want to compete. And I know somebody said here that we know, Scott said we've made a lot of mistakes in players we have brought in. But we can't go out and buy, a Ronaldo or a Messi. You know, Man City can, Man United, Newcastle, they all can, if they wanted. We can't, we have to take the risk, don't we, on bringing somebody in a little bit cheaper. Soleimani could have worked out and we lost 30 million there. But that's the risk we take of trying to bring success to the club, which the fans would have moaned about had we not tried to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Reading this statement, though, I think the transfer business is a secondary issue. The primary issue is contracts. Now, that's that paragraph there that you've highlighted. So what that says to me is we are 35 million quid down this year on turnover from 2022. And then it says somewhere along there, later down, that 75 million was gobbled up by the lower position. Yeah, that's it. Lower was offset by a significant lower than budgeted league position and a costly change in first team manager. So if we're saying at the top there that the 35 million difference is the loss of turnover and revenue, that leaves 40-ish million remaining, which says to me the best part of 40 million was spent on changing manager.
Possibly. That's a good point, actually. That is so a very that, good
and that's the problem. And I think as well, it, within the accounts, it says 112% of revenue was spent, 112% was spent on wages. This is the issue. The transfer money is what's bailing us out a bit and probably stopped the situation being horrendously worse. But the contracts, like who is agreeing those wages to be 112% of revenue? I get that revenue dipped a bit, but it's still astronomically high. And it's costing you the best part of 40 million to change the management, which probably included John Terry and Dean Smith as well.
Yeah.
So who's agreeing these contracts, which are clearly unaffordable? That's more the issue, because you can't not pay. You can decide what transfer fee you pay. It's a one-off agreed figure. But with wages, it's a continual 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year payment.
It's a difficult one because I presume we would have budgets to fit into. I mean, I don't know whether it goes all the way up to Top. I'm sure Top would say whether it's down to Susan or whoever, right, this is how much money you've got to spend. But you made a point about this on the show the other day, didn't you, Brad, about wages?
Yeah, because wages is the biggest problem that any club struggles to deal with. And it is just ridiculous. You've got to remember as well, how close were we? Would we have been to it when was the rules of all these implemented? Because how close were we to it when we got them ridiculous contracts for players who we gave release clause twos and new cars to when we won the league? Look, probably our best financial season on record, although one of the seasons under this investigation period, Kate, if you believe, is actually more than this for a loss. And it was a year we won the FA Cup and finished fifth, so maybe not. But we had ridiculous contracts going all the way back. Again, the warning signs were there for this to be happening. And I think it's basically it's a phone call between manager, board, director of football, because he'll sit down and negotiate a contract. And they'll make demands basically of each other. And then the negotiation is, well, we don't want to give you that. We want to give you this, though. Will that do? And then the player turns to the agent turns to the player and goes, well, that's what they're offering you. I say, take it, or let's see if we can get that. And then eventually a deal struck. But ultimately, yes, somebody in the board will have approved all these decisions. And that just maybe shows there's a lack of understanding in there, in that department, because people will instantly blame Rudkin. I can already see it in chat, Chris. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it absolutely pisses me off about blaming Rudkin.
And this is why I defend him on this situation, because all Rudkin would have done is picked up the phone and gone to maybe, I don't know, the receptionist, the go-between guy, whatever his name is. I apologise if he's got a role in the club with a proper title. I don't know it. But the guy that will go between, basically, he will get on the phone and go, I've got, I don't know, Fatawu here. I know he's a loanee, but I'll use my example. Yeah, 19 million fee agreed. He wants 119k a week. What do you want me to negotiate with here? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. He'll speak to someone at the board. The board will say, give him this much, no more than that. We can't really do it. And then bang, he'll tell him, okay, try and get it for about 80k or less. But if not, 100's the most we're willing to do. Let his agent know that and go from there and get the deal done.
Yeah.
It's John Rudkin just gives him a number and it gets okayed. So it's not John Rudkin's fault that these contracts have been agreed to. That goes to some representative in the board. Maybe not top, but someone.
Yeah. But Kate, just carrying on from that, Rudkin was taking the hassle when we couldn't get Senzi over the line because of finance and what have you. You know, people that don't understand, I'm not saying I understand it all, but Rudkin is a very easy blame for people with blinkers on that don't really understand that. Oh, we don't like Rudkin, we'll blame Rudkin for this, we'll blame Rudkin for that. You know, at the end of the day, it all stops. Rudkin could be a weak negotiator. You don't know, Terry. You absolutely have no idea. You said earlier, we don't know what Tielemans was offered. You don't know how Rudkin negotiates. So don't come to that argument when you've just used a different argument before.
Yeah.
You know, let's get Rudkin. I mean, it's Easter just gone. Let's nail him to a cross, crucify it, and set light to it. I mean,
and again, we don't know what he was told by the board, Chris, do we? He'd have been told you've got a million to spend on wages or a billion to spend on wages. Go at it.
But, Kate, you know, the what I'm saying is, you know, we can't just keep blaming one man. At the end of the day, love it or hate it, the responsibility ends with top.
Absolutely, yeah. And I will stand by the fact that it's a collective effort. And I mean that on and off the pitch. You win together and you lose together and you make decisions together as a board. Now, what's happened with Leicester is they'll have been up against other clubs in terms of wages that they need to agree, transfer fees that they need to agree, and they will have a budget and there will be someone's call to make on who is worth spending over budget and who is worth not spending over budget and offering less. But the fact of the matter is that we probably bet and forecasted to finish, I would reckon, eighth or something like that.
Yeah.
That's 10 places above where we actually finished. And if you remember, Owen said the other night on Friday or Thursday night, sorry, he said that each place is worth between 5 and 7 million in the Premier League. So we're 10 places below. That means 50 to 70 million is therefore lost on pure league position, which is then compounded by the fact that that was a poor managerial period of our football season under Brendan. And it then cost us 40 million to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Would it that's
regardless of Rudkin. Rudkin cannot affect what's going on the pitch. He's given Brendan the players, and a lot of those players did underperform. So, but I don't like the contract that Brendan was given, but we really wanted him, and didn't it work in those first couple of seasons? He earned his crust. So what's happened is there's been a bit of poor decision making, but ultimately it's the perfect storm of what happens when you roll the dice and it doesn't come right for you. And I think that's what financial unfair play is all about to me. You can't dream. You can't gamble and lose. You have one chance. And if you mess it up, you're screwed. And looking at these figures, we've got 80 million this year, 90 million next year. That's 170 million over 2 years. That means it's going to take at least two more financial seasons. We'll be breaching next year and the year after looking at those figures.
Yes.
That's just because of one costly season where there's lots of variables. And that's
there's no other business really like this. Now, there probably is, but none that I can think of off the top of my head, where you're gambling on what... I suppose it's like when you make a film. You know, you agree, right, we're going to spend £100 million to make this film with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman or whatever. We hope it's going to bring £5 billion in at the box office. Yeah. And then it suddenly flops. You know, who's, you know, someone's got to be accountable for all this. And it all, unfortunately, and I'm not blaming him, but all roads lead to Top. You know, had Top got rid of Brendan earlier, we may well have stayed up, so the loss might not been have been as bad. But he didn't, you know. And you know, Rudkin does not, or anybody else, does not have the an open purse. Like you say, Rodgers wanted Vestergaard, which until this season we all said was a bad signing. You know, Ranieri wanted Slimani. You know, they all, you know, who we lost for nothing. All these players were requested by the manager, like you both said. And then Rudkin will be given the job, if it's his job, of trying to negotiate the contract, but he will have budgets to work within. And he'll have probably gone back to Rodgers and Ranieri and said, well, look, if you want this, this is how much they want, but this is how much you're only going to have left. You know, you've got 100 million to spend on wages, but and you've got him, you're only going to have 70. Are you sure you want to go for it? But it's carries just carrying on here. But let's move on from Rudkin. I do feel Rudkin gets the blame for everything that's bad at the club, you know. And Top, I mean, you know, we look back, Kate, and let me ask you this. Had Top been more honest and forthcoming to Brendan at the start of our last season in the Premier League, rather than let him going out and trying to negotiate players? And he must have been pissed off with that, because it would have made him look stupid. You know, Top didn't come out and say anything. He didn't come out of hiding until the day, you know, that we played Manchester United, and that was transfer deadline day. Had he come out and been more honest early on, we might not have been in such a bad position either.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. We'll never know. I mean, it's just hard to know, isn't it? I struggle to necessarily trust a lot of what Brendan said in the last 12 months. He was all about protecting the Brendan factor. So I do struggle with that, but I understand what you're saying. But we just don't know what goes on behind closed doors. It's the same argument people were slagging off Rudkin for. We genuinely don't know. Rudkin is a good figurehead who puts himself about a bit. He has to as part of his job, and he's always the face of transfers and anything else. So it's easy to point the finger at him, and it's easy to point the finger at Top where money's concerned. But the ultimate thing is, like I've said, is the perfect storm happened. We could not have forecasted that. Top might have been thinking and said to Brendan, transfers we've got to cut back on because we're sailing too close to the wind. Not even thinking in his head, it's going to cost me 40 million to sack you because you're going to have a horror this year.
Yeah.
He might not. But what the problem is you don't want to forecast too low because then you can't spend anything. So it's just gone terribly wrong. And it's been a multiple of factors. And I think there's a multiple of people that have a part to play. But like you say, Top is the overarching owner of the club. He's Rudkin's boss. For people that want to blame Rudkin, Rudkin isn't unaccountable in a way. But at the same time, he does have a boss who he's reportable to. And Top's messed up. And it's going to take a couple of years to put right. But we knew this at the start of this season, that if we're going to be in breach, it takes a few years to put right.
No, you're right. It will do. And just moving on here, they go on to say the club's commitment to the growth of women's football in Leicestershire continued with further investment in player, staff and facilities to aid the development of LCFC women. The team's second season of Women's Super League saw them improve. So as we said, you know, we get an allowance for that. I don't know how long the allowance for the training ground goes on for, though, whether we've already used that allowance up or not. But is COVID within this last 3 years, or have we come out?
COVID was the FA Cup year that we won it.
Yes,
and,
it was. Yes, it was. Yeah,
and I'd imagine the training ground was done on a overtime sort of period. There is one thing that I'm not sure if it's in this report, but it was in the BBC. And apologies if you're going to bring it up, Chris, and spoiler if it's on your notes, but it was also reported, though, that this, I don't know if this is including the fact that it was stated, we have to remember, 6 months ago, maybe this is why he did it. I don't know. I'd hate to think this was like the cover up reason to try and soften the blow. But they did pay off that £196 million loan that they originally took out for, I think it was the development of the training ground.
And they have infrastructure and associated costs are never included in FFP.
Okay, well, that's something then we don't have to take into account.
That'll be part of our argument why we want to extend the ground so we can generate more turnover and revenue at match day.
Indeed, indeed. And the problem we've got is it is a gamble, isn't it? I mean, you know, as much as we're moaning, oh, they did this wrong and they made this bad decision, they made that bad decision, you know, they were moaning, well, why didn't we buy a player when we were fourth and we could have ended up, when we finished fifth and we could have ended up fourth. It's a gamble, isn't it? The swing could go either way. It's gone against us, not as bad as it went against Leeds when they tried to live the dream. But, you know, the fans wanted it. The fans wanted us to try it. They would have been moaning if we hadn't been bringing players in. It is a risky business, isn't it, Kate?
Yeah, the fourth place second time is what has cost us. That has been the total catalyst, because why wouldn't you set your stall out, cut your cloth accordingly for a fourth place finish when you've spent all but 10 games in two seasons in the top four? So that's what, this is how ugly football can get when you realistically think you can achieve it again with potentially going top six or seven. But if you spend what you need to maintain and sustain those Premier League positions and potentially winning the odd trophy along the way, this is the ultimate cost when it doesn't pay off. And let's remember that financial fair play is all about the figures within turnover and spend. The club is solvent. The club is not going under.
No.
Top is a billionaire and has pledged his future to the club by saying, like you say, wiping off 194 million last year. We are a solvent business, and that's what financial fair play was supposed to stop. If we want to put loads of money in, we should be able to do it.
Yeah.
But this is the problem, that the rules have stung us, and we obviously signed up to the rules because they were put in place, or the majority of the league signed up to the rules. But it shows here it's very, very difficult to abide by, almost impossible to abide by if you are a smaller club wanting to continue the dream of the last decade.
Yeah. I mean, Brad, just reading here what Susan Whelan is saying. After a substantial period of growth and success for the club during the last decade, the 2023 season was a significant setback, the consequences of which will be felt for some time. We must now focus on rebuilding and seeking to return and re-establish ourselves in the Premier League. Having achieved finishing positions in the Premier League of 5th, 5th and 8th in the three preceding seasons, our targets and associated budgets of 22-23 were entirely reasonable. It was, but that wasn't enough for a lot of people, was it? A 5th, 5th and an 8th. Let's be honest with you. Go back, and you know, a lot of new fans that have only known us since we won the Premier League, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's an age thing. It's not, you can't complain about when you were born, but 5th, 5th, and 8th just wasn't good enough for them after we won the Premier League.
No, it wasn't, and it just showed that maybe there was more of a frustration that certain targets for the gamble weren't met. And I'm going to use the word term gamble, because everything Leicester are basically said to have done over the last 3 years was done with the kindness of ideas, but it was a major financial flaw of a gamble, like it's turning out to be. Because the year they won the FA Cup, Chris, was that the season they finished fifth, or was that the season they finished eighth?
Eighth, I think. Wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So by this, you know, how bad would this have been if we'd not won the FA Cup? Because we wouldn't have got European football by finishing eighth, I don't think. So it makes it even scarier. Chris, we lost over 90 million for that season. That was reported at 94.3 million, I think it was, at least on the BBC's report. Might be a little further down, but that tells you as well how even more a little bit reckless we were in pushing for the pipe dream. You know, Kate's right, it can be difficult, but you have to spend within our means. Yes. You know, we should have been going... It's easy to sit there, I suppose, and say, well, look, we were on track with where we were finishing. We had a right to be spending it. And yes, we do. We kind of earned that right to be trying to battle with the top seven clubs in the Premier League at that point. You know, the constricts of the rules are there for everybody, and we've seemingly broken them, although there is stuff that hasn't been accounted for yet, which I'm guessing we're going to talk about in a bit, so I won't say anything. But you know what I mean? So we've had some right, in a weird, messed up sense, of some thinking about them now, some saving moments, because this could be in the region of 300 million plus if we hadn't have won the FA Cup that year.
Yes, it could.
I know there's COVID count abilities, but oof.
Yes, and it's scary. Kate, I know you've got to go, so I'm going to say thank you so very much for coming on. Do appreciate it. It was very short notice. Just tell everybody where they are. Your details are below, obviously, in the YouTube, but tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at KateBlakey40, so give us a follow on there.
Indeed. Kate, thank you very much. And are you going at the weekend?
Yeah, I'll be there on Saturday. That'll be an interesting atmosphere, I think. So
it will, won't it? It will.
But I do it on the pitch, though, because if we don't do it on the pitch, look what happens off the pitch.
Exactly, exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great. But when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Take care, Kate. All the best. Thank you.
See you, Kate.
Kate had to go.
So now the brain and the cell have gone all in one video. Now what we're going to do, mate?
I don't know. This is it. Otherwise, we'll just give up now. The thing is, as well, is despite us being a one county club, as in there's no other real professional, you know, top tier professional, or not just top tier, but top tiers professional teams in Leicestershire once you get past Leicester, we don't have the support of, you know, some of the other big cities, obviously London, Manchester, Liverpool, and Newcastle. If we build a bigger stadium, which would obviously help the number of people coming in, would we be able to fill it?
Well, that's the risk you take, isn't it, Chris? Because there's only so long you can contain an ambition. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, a club that's now, annoyingly, outdoing Leicester in that aspect of challenging for Europe or being in, at least in European competition. I know they're not anymore because they got smashed by Roma, the cursed team that knocked us out, Brighton. The Amex Stadium's a pretty decent-sized stadium. But, you know, their owners might have a little bit more on the brakes than Leicester on the idea, but I'm sure they're thinking, if we can start getting European football more consistently, we're going to make more available match day revenue. We need to take advantage of this. We need to get ahead of the programme. And I think maybe 30, in a weird twist...
13,500 is the Amex.
Well, yeah, so again, they're in the same sort of, well, a little bit more than Leicester, or less than Leicester.
Just slightly less than Leicester.
Yeah, slightly less. They're in the same sort of area. So the thing is, Chris, we're not psychic. Because if we were, we wouldn't be in this position. I'm sure we'd be in a different position. But if the club was psychic, Chris, these wouldn't be... Imagine if we'd have finished fifth and not eighth that season. So qualified for Europa League and won the FA Cup. It's all what-ifs and gambles that have got us in this situation, Chris. Because ideally, after Leicester won the Premier League, it's like, right, do we knock a stand down now and extend it and miss out on the Championship season with a stand with like 7,000 or 8,000 fans less per game? But what if we don't get Europe again? You know, all these things get taken account for, but what if we make Europe? What if we're going to be in Champions League? We can't have a stand missing. Okay, then let's see. You know, there was never a right time. Leicester have needed to have built it in the bloody Championship. They didn't build the King Power because
you don't know what's going to happen. Look, when we built the King Power for a Premiership club and team, and as soon as we were ready to move in, we were in the Championship or whatever it was called back in the day. I mean, Aaron says here the Amex is not far off the KP, then you have to consider Brighton's transfer policy at the moment. At the moment, but Brighton are at the stage where we were when we first came up,
it was all going like this swimmingly, weren't it?
Sorry?
I said it was all going like this swimmingly. I was trying to do the back.
Yeah. I wonder what that was. I thought you were fighting a fly off.
When we
had that fantastic season, we were doing things right. You know, Vardy, Kante, Mahrez. Our transfer policy was brilliant. The problem is, and I'm not saying the fans' fault, but the fans' expectation fuels the club. If we'd have won that championship, the Premier League, the trophy's there. If we'd have won that, and then the club had said, right, okay, we're not going to really go and try for Europe again because, of our budgets and what have you. So we're probably going to have to go and try and pick some lower league. The fans would have gone absolutely apeshit. What do you mean you're signing a player from Milton Keynes Dons? You should be going out and buying them from Sporting Lisbon. So that's what we were doing. But Brighton and Hove Albion aren't at that point yet. Brighton and Hove Albion haven't won anything yet. We won the Premier League. It almost, in a way, winning the Premier League, as fantastic as it was, and I'd take, the next 10 years in League One, if we can hold on to that. We obviously can't give the trophy back, but you know what I mean?
Memory's worth it.
Let us have 10 years down there, but it's not good enough for fans, I was there when we played Yeovil on a wet Tuesday in November. Oh, fucking bully for you.
I feel like you remember that day well, Chris. You were very specific on that, because I'm pretty sure we played Yeovil on a Tuesday in November and it was a Casper goal that wasn't given. Very specific detailed, Chris.
We had a lot of, the ones that all don't like plastic fans. They weren't at Yeovil on this. And I'm like, fuck off. Scott says there, the joy of being a football supporter is expectations change every game. But we see what happens. We do well, your expectations go up. But we couldn't do any better than winning the Premier League.
Exactly. We couldn't do much better. No,
as good as it was, a lot of other clubs were imploding at that season to allow us to sneak through. But if we'd have then gone, taking a couple of steps back and gone, okay, we've won it, but let's not, get too carried away. The fans would have been going mad, wouldn't they? And I say it's just expectations. A lot of this is because we've dined at the top table and we're going to say, this sirloin steak's better than the bump steak we had down there. I fancy this. Let's order some more. And we tried to keep up with it and you can't. Look, hindsight's a marvellous thing. But we've tried, we've flown very close to the sun and I think we just got our fingers burnt.
Yeah, we did. I mean, to try and put a bit of a light spin on the way it's kind of gone for Leicester, it's like queuing up to get into the VIP section of the club, only for the bouncer to tell you, oh, yeah, by the way, it's now not £350 to get in, it's £750. And the best six people in the world are in there, and you can suddenly, after all the scrimping and scraping and masterminding to get there and get the money together, you get told that. And then you get caught stealing other people's money to pay in when you get in there. And you get, you come back with 750 and all of a sudden they're like, suspicious, we've got to look at you. And it feels like that's what's happened with Leicester. They rolled a lot of dices, hoping for snake eyes, and they got threes and fours all the way through.
Yeah. Alan said, and I'm just going to go through a few comments here, and they're very good points, but I'm just playing devil's advocate with you guys. Don't take my saying what I'm saying and the way I'm saying it as having a dig at anybody. I literally am playing devil's advocate because that's what as hosts we're meant to do. That's why me and Brad never agree, although off screen we're like brothers from other mothers. But Aaron says here, in order to increase revenue, you need to expand that and bring in better sponsors and money. Well, they brought in FBS and everybody couldn't wait to see them go because they didn't like the logo.
It was horrible, but
does that matter if they're paying us? We're now back with King Power. Lovely logo, but probably not bringing in as much as FBS because they've had to come back. No. They've now just gone back to the training gear.
Do they still do the women's kit?
Have the men's.
Do they? So,
That was in their contract, though, Chris. Sorry?
That was only because FBS signed a contract. They've Leicester got relegated. They were refusing to sponsor the main team.
No, it was last season as well.
That's what I mean. No, they sponsored us last season. It was one we got. Yeah, King Power have only been back this season. And that was because FBS, it turned out we had an agreement with them that if we got relegated, they weren't going to sponsor the main team this season. It's why King Power had to come back in sponsorship. But King Power needed a subsidised for
it. Like, but everybody was, oh, thank God FBS has gone. And yes, it was a horrible logo, totally. And I think you should be able to buy shirts without logos on if you want. Because if so, honestly, if it saves me a tenner, I'd buy one without the KP logo on it. But you can't have it both ways, can you?
No, and you know what, though, Chris, you say you get it for a tenner less. I doubt it. You know, there'd be limited edition something printed on it.
Probably I agree, they wouldn't do that. But what I'm saying is,
but if they did, they'd charge you more. They'd make it stand out in a different way, so you'd want to pay an extra tenner or an extra fiver to not have the logo one. They'd probably have like limited edition in the stitching or some shit like that.
I remember, I think it was West Ham when they were being sponsored by a gambling company and they agreed not to put it on the kids' shirts because it was gambling. Mm. And so they had that sort of option. Aaron, again, when you have to look at Rogers' recruitment and how bad it was with Congleton, Lee Congleton. Look, when you bring a manager in, you have to a point, back them. And if that's the play, you know, yes, they might not bring the players in that you want, but they want, you would think, all right, Rogers, you could argue, but you would think that they would bring the players in that would fit into their style of play. There's no point bringing in a left back and, you know, or anybody going to Enzo and going, Enzo, we've got this great left back for you. And why? Oh, it's good value. Best left back in the world. Yeah, but I don't play left backs. They're a waste of time then. So some of the decisions, yes, you know, Vestergaard for now is good, but and Rogers wasn't.
When you look at Ranieri, and clubs know what risk they're taking when there's a manager that has demands that 90% of the managerial world has a set backroom staff that they'll want to bring with him. So it's nothing new to football knowing that if you want a man to be your manager that desperately, you're gonna still negotiate, but you're gonna try and get a deal done.
And
where
you
that's
to back viable. Them, and you will be saying when you're signing them, yes, we will back you to this amount, or you know, this is our plans. You know, look at Ranieri. You know, how many successful signings did Ranieri make? How many of his signings are still at the club? Exactly. Well, there may be one or two, but you're struggling. You know what I'm saying? And this is the guy that, no, you know, everybody was, oh, we love Claudio. Everybody wanted him back and what have you. But he signed some absolutely awful players. And I'm sorry, when you do sign, that's annoyed you now. You're going to try and find one, aren't you? You know, the scouting club people might go off and go, look, we found this player. And Ranieri might go, okay, he's good. I like him. Bring him in. And then, but then Ranieri might say, well, I want this one. It's a coming together of the two. And so a lot of money can be wasted on players, especially if you bring a manager in that isn't successful, you get rid of him quite early, and you're stuck with those players then.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that is what it comes down to. A manager has his preference on and off the field. He'll want his own backroom staff. He'll want his players. He'll say that. But again, it's like Kate said, this all goes through what a manager wants and what he's able to get. And it's not like any manager that's ever come in, even as far back as Puel, you know, these managers were given what they needed to potentially be successful in their tenure at Leicester. And it hasn't always worked.
We've got to say with Rogers, and look, we all hate him because of where he eventually took us to. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, and I'm starting to wonder, like I said to Kate earlier, was it a case of he was dropped in it? And I did allude to this before, you know, that Top maybe hung him out to dry a little bit. But like I say, when you get these managers in, and you know, we had three or four bloody good seasons. Like we said earlier, fifth and eighth in the Premier League. Come on, you know, under Rodgers. FA Cup, to be honest with you, playing.
And again, it's kind of like winning the league, isn't it? Even though these have come with a loss of that season, and it's going to hit the club. Seemingly, it's going to hit the club. We still do have take backs or whatever it is that we can account for that have yet to be shown and accounted for. But it looks like it's. And if you said to me, Chris, do you want to do it all again, Brad? Do you want to win the Premier League, win the FA Cup, go on European adventures in your lifetime, be there to witness live Champions League games? You know, remember all Brighton scoring our first Champions League goal, but it comes back to bite you on the arse a little bit. You know what, Chris? Football waits for no man, does it? Remember what we were saying backstage to 2002 relegation? We went into administration. We dodged points deducted that any other club got afterwards. So Leicester have twice been in a situation, Chris, which has acquired rules to be changed after what happened to Leicester. So maybe this is football and karma coming back after all them years, because we really got away with murder that season. The rules changed instantly after we did that.
Because of us, yes, indeed. Yes. Indeed it did, you know. You are quite right. Just to read the last bit of this here as we go down. The long-term and ongoing financial security and commitment provided by Kun Awat, his family. I'm not going to attempt that.
Chris,
never.
Chris, I found a player that is still technically with us that Claudio Ranieri signed. Don't get excited. It's Daniel Iverson.
Yeah. Says it all. Says it all,
there's a player on here I didn't even know we signed. We signed him from Chelsea on a free. Farik Bolakar. What happened to him?
No idea.
Must have been a youngster.
Yeah. But they said, so the long-term and ongoing financial security commitment provided by Top, his family and King Power International enables the club to rebuild with certainty and confidence. We're infinitely grateful for the faith and support of our fans, whose commitment and total and loyalty continue to inspire our mission to restore Leicester City to the level which we all want to compete. Look, we're in trouble. If we do get promoted, we may well start with a minus points deduction. If we go back far enough, all those years before we went down to League One, when basically we should have gone down and we just somehow, we were bottom feeders in the second tier then. I would not go back to those days. I'd sooner be where we are now with a points deduction than going back to those days.
Yeah, and I lived through them days when it was 1-1 at the King Power against Yeovil Town. Thank you very much. Also, even though I don't thankfully remember too well in living memory, I was also part of the McGee and Little circus roundabout that happened over that 18-month period with them pair or whatever it was. Well, it's longer with Brian Little was here longer, but it felt like it, didn't it, with McGee and that, how they left. So, look, we've all been there. And look, if we are accounted for it, like I said, this isn't as damning as people may think just yet. It probably is still going to be that we're over budget. I've just got this feeling. I just don't know where 100 and technically 16 million, I guess, is going to get found. 106 million or whatever it is we need to find.
Well, if you go on to that story on the website, the annual report and consolidated financial statements for the 13-month period are available via a PDF. 64 pages if you want to read through it.
I'm all right, thanks.
Are you all right? Just saying here, the directors, you've got Top, you've got his brother, Apichet, is it? Sheila Louis and Susan Whelan. So you've got three members of the same family there. So, you know, Susan Whelan, whatever she thinks, would not even, you know, well, she could be outvoted, couldn't she, on most of it. So we are very much in the hands of that family. Pricewaterhouse are the auditors. And then they go into the strategic review. Well, look, you know, the 64 pages there that anybody can go on and read that. I mean, the average league attendance for 2023 was 31,887. Well, down 100. I mean, that's not going to make a lot of difference, is it? Staff costs, 116%. I mean, it is the staff cost. I remember, as I've told you before, I used to work at, I'm not going to go through 64 pages.
Because that was going well over my head. That was too overstimulating. Chris, quick question for you. When did we sack Ranieri? Did he get the January transfer window in 2017?
Yes, he must have done, because we were in the quarterfinals. Well, no, we weren't in the quarterfinals. Yeah, we got through the group stage.
We got and the group round stage 16, ends, which is February time, isn't
ends,
it?
Yeah, that ends before Christmas.
Then I have an actual winner here, Chris, that will surprise you. I do have a key player that is still at Leicester that Ranieri signed. Don't worry, it's not Ron Robert Zieler. He's definitely gone. It's not. It would have been had he signed a contract, but it isn't Nampalis Mende. But he just left, didn't he? Yeah. It is the Nigerian wizard, mate. Wilfred Ndidi, he signed on the 3rd of January 2017.
Well, there we go. Yes, Ndidi.
There you go. Yeah, he signed his last signings.
Even Alex Ferguson has signed some whoppers. But look, it is the staff costs. And I can remember when I used to work at Blackburn Rovers, and my minuscule wage I was working in conference and events, and I was made redundant because they didn't get promoted back up to the Premier League, and they needed to save money, and they decided to make a few of us redundant from like the sales offices, and we probably didn't come touch like one of the players that had got them in the trouble and couldn't get them back up, you know, wage wise. They earned more in a week than we would have earned in a year, but
yeah. The problem is, Chris, it's easier to make acceptable argumentative redundancies for 20 members of staff or whatever it is. You know, I'm not just talking sales, but all over, than it is to tell one player, you can solve all our problems, off you pop. That player, if he's got a contract, they could get money for him, maybe not a lot down in that doldrums of the footballing world, but you know what I mean? Like, it's so wrong. And I 100% agree with you. Like, sell one player could easily sort it out, but for the club benefit, it's easy to say, well, next season we won't need this many staff because there won't be this many people in the ground. So you guys need to go. Then it is.
And everybody is quickly, just going to end on this point now. Everybody is quickly mentioning about the stadium. I wonder if we would fill that stadium.
I don't think we would. I don't think we would, because I think we built the cautious number, is what I like to call it. Anywhere between 30 and 36,000 at a push is a cautiously built stadium. You hope to be in the high 90% every game, or selling out, preferably most of them. But you're just not sure if you've got enough global recognition to hit the 44,000.
I suppose you could.
And again, that comes from trying to be psychic, Chris, to make
it
that.
It does. I suppose you could increase the away allocation, but that might be limited by EFL and Premier League. That's not even going to be even thought of until we get back and established in the Premier League, you know. I thought we were established in the Premier League, but we were.
And that's the sad thing, Chris. We were until that season.
Yes. But look, at the end of the day, we've still got our club. We've still got our ground. We've been in worse positions than this before. I would sooner be, and as I just said, where we are now with the owners we've got, in the debt we are, about to lose maybe 10 points, which is only 3 wins at the end of the day. Look, next season, we're not going to go up and be competing for Europe next season. We're going to go up and we're going to be, if we go up, I should say, if we go up, we're going to be competing for 17th. Yeah. That's what we're going to be competing for.
And I don't think we'll get 10-point deduction. I think they've already shown with the fact
using that as an example.
I totally know what you're saying. I think the fact that they've kind of gone happy ground middle is probably going to be 6.
But then again, we've lost a hell of a lot more money.
I'm also glad that you've given that as a kind of answer, because I'm not going to sit on the fence in this one. I'm not going to try and play devil's advocate too much here. I did see a lot of people when I posted it on Facebook suggesting that maybe it'd be better for Leicester to be in the Championship. Here's why that wouldn't be a good idea and would be even more disastrous for Leicester. They're already under investigation with the EFL for this season. They're on a transfer embargo in the under the EFL, not the EPL, the EFL, which hasn't been lifted and may not get lifted because it's the BFL. They can impose the ban for as long as necessary. They feel it need to. So if we weren't to get in, if we were to get in the playoffs, another gamble, seeing our success rate in gambling so far, it ultimately hasn't clearly paid off by gambling for the FA Cup because of the financial losses of that year, because of a suffering of league performances, you could say, finishing eighth. Chris, if we don't go up for the playoffs, it'd be disastrous because we're all under the impression that Fatterwood comes to Leicester for 19 million, which is a nailed on agreement between the two clubs. But I'm pretty sure that comes with Premier League promotion being the final clause he needs to make because he's met all the others, Chris. So we wouldn't get him. And even if it wasn't, people are saying, oh, yeah, but the parachute payments over three seasons. What if we have a transfer embargo for three? What if they decide to be, we break the rules even more and get in more debt and get more points deduction? The
transfer embargo can be a better...
Yeah.
Guys, look at how Chelsea did when they had to use the youth players.
Yeah. And granted, that may make it in the long term better, but the short term effect isn't just that, Chris.
No. We need to be in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. So anyone saying it'd be better to do that, that's why I'm hell against that. Because not only that though, Chris, not only is it a transfer embargo, we can't replace Iheanacho if he doesn't sign a new contract. We can't replace Wilfred Didi if he doesn't sign a new contract. We can't replace any of these players.
Pratt is another one.
Without any of these players. No, I get that, Terry, but we wouldn't be able to register any. We wouldn't need to register players because we'd have the bare minimum to make the squad numbers up anyway. So it wouldn't. And under 21s, you don't need to register if necessary. So I get what you're saying. But my point is, if we went for the playoffs and it backfired like everything else Leicester have done in terms of the finance spending, Chris, we wouldn't be able to replace some players. And yes, maybe for 5 years that would allow Leicester to build their youngsters, give my mate Rafferty, Sam Braybrook and Alvarez the leading lines. You know, that would be a five-year plan, but that'd be another gamble, Chris. Remember what happened the last time we tried to do that turnover and we went for youth and then some random signings by a crazy man from Plymouth Argyle. We got lumbered with players that just weren't quite cut mustard. We spent 10 years away from the Premier League.
Yeah.
Trying to get back. I don't want to become one of them teams that gets into the Championship and gets into the habit of sticking around, Chris.
It's a case of I think it's more important than ever now than we do get promotion. And the fact that we've not got those 17 points to play with and we're actually sat in third, I'm not confident we will get promotion.
I perfectly understand people that aren't confident that we'll get promotion. We're in a situation which is changing every game, every minute, every second of every game. Leicester went from top to second to top to third in the space of, 7 hours, Chris? That's how it is at the moment. I'm not saying you have to be confident us to get automatic promotion, but do not sit there and tell me the best thing that can happen to Leicester right now financially is staying in the Championship, because the EFL could just say, well, that's great, but you can't replace any of your losing players. As Terry says there, you can't even offer players out of contract during a transfer embargo. Or unless he's on about registration, which would be, I guess, worse. But I can only tell you what, again, you're trying to be psychic, Terry. I don't know if that's the thing that would actually happen if we didn't get promoted. I can only go off what I know now, and that is one of the
transfers. I think it comes down to the money that we would earn in the Premier League, even if we come straight back down again because of any points embargo, would be more than we would get if we stick in the in the Championship. Take care, Terry. Thanks for coming in. So it is vital we get promoted. Because, we could be on, well, let's be honest with you, if we do stay down and we get, this, all these embargoes and you know, if that's all in case, then chances are that we'll be in the bottom half of the table. So we won't be on the telly as much, even in the EFL. So our television money would go down straight away. Interesting yeah. times, Brad. Interesting times, that's all we can say. And I appreciate you coming on, mate. I'm going to let you go, as I'm going to go as well. We hadn't planned this, so I appreciate you coming on very last minute.
No problem, mate. It's been good to talk about it, although we needed Carol Vorderman in to help us. Otherwise, we'd have been scrambling for questions.
We can't predict the scores for this weekend, so we can't predict what's going to happen.
No, that's very true, mate. That's very true. Maybe if we all donate our points to Leicester and see if we can convert them, you know, like chopping points, like your Tesco's club card, do we get like a reward system? Can we all put our prediction 3 points together and try and pay off the debt?
Can I just say, do I speak English?
Yeah, pretty certain, yeah.
Because I don't know what this gentleman's been listening to. You must be confident of going up. Is there anything I've said in the last 1 hour, 2 minutes and 58 seconds that has sounded confident about going up? If anything, I would say I'm completely the opposite.
Yeah, I would say the same, because we've lost the right to have that little swagger confidence about us by poor results on the pitch. Yeah. Right now, we are in a battle for the playoffs.
Yeah. And right, everything I always say is if we go up. I've never said when, or if I have, I've corrected myself to say if we go up. So I really don't know, Mark, what show you, unless you're referring to the people in the chat, maybe, but I don't know.
Because if he's referring to me, I was only making the point that financially and squad repercussions, it would be devastating for us to not go up. But I never said I'm really confident this is all going to be fine because we're going to get promoted. And neither of us have said anything like that. So who knows?
Yeah, as Paul's just added there, have to go up for the survival of the club financially. No, I don't think it is, because I think King Power, look, they could bail us out tomorrow if they needed to. If we were allowed to, they could just write it off, you know, and not even, you know, notice, you know, any likeness in the bank account. But so we're not in financial trouble at, other than, you know, yes, on the league, you know, the point side, but certainly not, you know, we're not going to go bust. We're not going to go bust. But like I say, financially, we need to go up to help us. You know, basically, it comes down to the fact we earn more money in the Premier League. It's as simple as that. Brad, thank you so very much, mate. I don't think we're any the wiser, but it's got it off our chest. It's good to talk, as BT used to always say.
It's good to talk, yeah. And unfortunately, I'm not charging you by the hour, so you're lucky.
I know. My therapist said it's good to talk, it's good to share. Yeah, but thanks very much, Brad. Where can people find you?
They can find me on LTI TV2, where we do all things WSL women's football for the Leicester City Women's. And it's also the LTID TV football quiz. It's a Leicester City-based quiz. It is the Leicester City football pyramid. Take a look over on the channel. Go and show it the same level of support you do here. If you love Leicester and love quizzes, that's the best place to go. Because Craig took on the Leicester City football pyramid. See how well he fared. I'll give you a clue. If you've ever seen the show Tenable, it's basically that. But we jazzed it up Leicester style. So go ahead and show us all the love and support on there. It's much appreciated.
The link is there in the link's always in the description below, but I've just put it in the chat for ease. Go out and give it a subscribe and a follow as well on that. As well as, of course, this great channel. But as Scott said, Brad, thanks very much, mate. I will see you at the weekend.
You'll see me back here on the Friday for the predictions.
I won't.
You won't, but these lovely people will, because they're all subscribed and got notifications turned on, haven't you? You have now. You hadn't already, you have now. I know you have. But yeah, you'll see me Friday.
Because on Saturday, we're playing Birmingham. No Rooney, no Sky.
Yeah. I know, right? How dare they?
I wonder why Sky aren't covering it. Who knew? Mm. Right, mate. Thanks very much. And good luck on Friday. But we're back here 7. I'm back here 7 tomorrow for the preview. Brad's back here. No, I'm not. I'm here Thursday at 7 for the preview show. Brad's here at 7 on Friday for the prediction show. We're both back here at the normal time of 2:15, a decent time for the watch along. Thanks to everybody that's been joining in the chat. Thanks to everybody that's been watching. Thanks to everybody that's been listening via the podcast. If that is what you've been doing, thank you for lending us your ears. But until then, we'll see you next time. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him, because I can't be asked to figure out how the camera works. There you go.
He's learning. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks very much.
Bye, Rob.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.